Thank you for being here this morning. It's a blessing to have you here as we fellowship together and worship together and then break God's word together, break bread of life. Thank you for being here. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into the word. Let's go back to the book of Habakkuk. We were hopefully, through the study of this book, we'll answer some questions that maybe some of you might have on current events, things that's going on in the world right now that we don't understand. And the same scenario was exactly what was going on in Habakkuk's day. It seemed that evil was prevailing. It seemed that God wasn't doing anything. And so Habakkuk, who is a prophet of God, opens his heart up and reveals real feelings. And so we began last week by understanding faith in dark days. And we begin, our first point was faith does not live by explanations, but by promises. We can't explain everything going on, but we know the promise of God. So we want to go back. You remember that the theme of this book is in the second chapter, verse 4, when it says that the just shall live by faith. That's the plan of God, that we don't always understand, but we know God and trust Him. Because that's what faith is all about anyway, is leaning on trust in the right object, which our object is God Almighty. So we finished up last week in chapter 1 when Habakkuk was really pouring his heart out, and we finished up on verse 4. So let's pick up back there. Chapter 1, verse 4. And he's real with his feelings, and he says that therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. You see the frustration in his voice? It doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. In other words, the wicked are covering us all up more than we are. And it says, therefore, wrong judgment proceeded. And we will pick up on that word slack, because at this point in time, it appears to Habakkuk that God is slack. And that word slack there means paralyzed. You remember we said that last week. It seems, God, that you're paralyzed and you're not doing nothing. Look at verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And it says here that heathens, the Babylonians, the wickedness seems to be prevailing. Hell seems to be having a lot of success right now. And God, we don't understand what you're doing. And so at this point, he is sort of like we are. He gets heavy hearted and he says, God, I just don't understand. There are some points that I want to get across in this message that are, I want to become principles in your life, because first of all, faith does not live by explanations. There's a lot of things we don't understand. I want to give a couple scriptures here. Go to John. We're going to flip back and forth for a few minutes this morning. John chapter 16 and verse 12. It's important that you know these. This is when Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples some heavenly things that were going on. But look what he says. I have yet many things to say to you. That's in verse 12, chapter 16. I have many things to say to you. But look what he says. But you cannot bear them now. You see that? Faith does not live by explanations, because there's things that goes on that we just don't understand. And as God says, you can't understand. Let's flip back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. I want to give you these scriptures and hopefully you'll write them down or either mark them so that you can study them on your own. When you're dealing with things in your life that seem unfair and seem like that God is asleep or paralyzed, these are some explanations. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." When you're dealing with things in this world, we have a tendency to try to understand them in our logic, in our limitations. But God is saying right here that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Look at verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." And look at the next part. "And my thoughts, your thoughts." What is God saying here? God is saying, and I want you to get this, I cannot explain everything to you that you're going through because you can't handle it. Did you get that? You cannot handle it. Let's go to the book of Romans. Flip back now. We're just flipping back and forth. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. Romans chapter 11. "Of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments." And look at the next part. "And His ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Question mark. "Who hath been His counselor?" You see that? Verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? How can we know His mind? There are things in His mind that we're not going to know. Just like we started out last week by saying that church that was just devastated. The question of the age is, where are you, God? That's what He's saying right here. That's what Habakkuk was saying. And it seems that the wicked are prevailing and you're not doing anything. And God says to Habakkuk, you're going to have to learn to live by faith. Because I want you to get this. I want you to get this part right here. God is not limited and cannot limit Himself to our explanation. Does that make sense? God cannot limit Himself to our explanation because we don't get it. God don't have time to stop and say, well, I can't move forward till you get it, because the Bible says that things are higher than we are. Things are out of our control. Here's the clincher. The just are going to have to learn to live by faith. And one of the greatest tools of learning by faith is that we lean not to our understanding. Habakkuk, a prophet of God, is crying out. You remember we told you about that scripture? It said he screamed. The Bible said he cried out, but interpreted, he screams to God. He's screaming to God. He's mad at God. He's shaking his fist. He says, I don't understand. You're sitting up there doing nothing. You're paralyzed. And the wicked are just keeping right on and right on and right on. Now, don't anybody raise your hand, but I bet many of you have had that thought in the last few days. God, where are you? And God is saying, I'm God. And I really want you to understand the connotation in here. God is not being arrogant, but He's saying, I don't have to explain anything to you. Amen? I do explain everything I can, but there's some things you're not going to understand. You're going to have to learn to live. The just shall live by faith. Now, when we read that scripture, we automatically go to faith, but we jump over the most important word, and that is live. Every day you live, you're going to have to learn and train your mind and train your body that there are going to be some things that hurt you, that come against you, that are not right. They're not fair. But God is saying, I'm God, and you're going to have to trust me. Amen. you are not going to be able to walk around with explanations all the time. And you can't get mad and run at God, even though we do, and I'm guilty too. If everything don't go our way, we have a big problem with God. And God knows that. He understands that. And right now, the Bible said in the last day, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. What do you think is going on right now in America? Deception. It seems like there is no God. God, you're weak. If there is one, you're weak. You're certainly not doing nothing. Boy, I'd be scared to say that in the face of God. Because God says you don't know the whole picture. And you're going to have to trust me on this. You're going to have to learn that you can't live by explanations. Go back to Habakkuk. This book here is so powerful. Habakkuk. Because it tells us how we feel. Chapter 1. And let's go on down there to verse 13. Thou art, O purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Do you see the question mark? You're God. You're ultimate righteous. There's none like you. And yet, it's almost like you're afraid of sin, and it's almost like you're doing nothing, and they're smearing this all in your face. I want to tell you something. More for you. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. If you listen to the news, if you listen to people today, you listen to the propaganda of the world, they're trying to push God out because they say if he was even real, where would he be? So evidently he's not even real. So they're pushing him out of the whole picture. Don't you be deceived in the thinking that his silence is weakness. And when you don't hear him, you stand. There's an anointing in this church, and he's speaking to them that's going to listen. Everybody's not going to listen, but he's speaking to them that's going to listen. And them that listen, you're going to see things on TV, you're going to hear things, and it's going to seem like God is out of control. God, you're just overwhelmed. There's more of them than it is us. Do y'all remember the scripture in the Bible said, if God be for us, what's the next part? Who can be against us? God is God. He says, don't you live by explanation, because you're going to go through things that cannot be explained. But you're going to have to learn to lean on my promises. You see, that's the first part of this story. It's three chapters. First chapter deals with Habakkuk sighing. He's overwhelmed. You ever have them days you get that phone call, the car won't crank or whatever, you just stand and you, all of a sudden you just say, you ever had them days? That's where he's at. But the next phase, number two, is he sees. He sees. So faith cannot live by explanations, but by promises. So let me go ahead and get this next one. So number two is a proper perspective. God begins to put things in perspective for him. So faith does not live by appearances, but by providence. You got that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. How many of you know that faith has nothing to do with what you see? Because when you look at things right now in your life, it doesn't make any sense. I talk about this with different friends of mine sometimes. You know what's going on, and you can't put anything on it. So God is trying to teach us understanding faith in dark days. Faith is not only faith when everything's going good, but real faith. It's when you stand when you don't understand. Does that make sense? God, I don't want to pray. I'm hurt. I'm mad. I got all these emotions. But there's one thing you're going to have to cling to. Your salvation is not based on works or feelings or what you see. It is based on what you know. And Northview, every Sunday you're reminded by communion that there's a God who loves us and gave himself for us. That whatever CNN says, whatever all the news people say, no matter what is going on in the world, the just don't live by that. We live by faith. All right? So faith does not live by appearance, number two, but by providence. Go to chapter 2 of Habakkuk. So, chapter 1, he's screaming at God. He's mad. Madder than a wet hen. He's mad. And God loves us enough to deal with us because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Aren't you glad that every time you don't agree with God or you get mad at God or whatever, he don't just rush off and say, well, forget you then. But his love is long-suffering. It's important to God that you know more than you feel. It's important to God that you know more than you feel because your knowledge is going to carry you a lot further than your feelings. How many of you felt like being here today? I hope y'all did, but you know, there are times that we don't feel everything we do. We do it by faith. Amen? We pray. We're hurting in our body. So Lord, we know that you're able to take care of this. The flesh says, why in the world are you wasting time? But our faith is in the character of God that says he loves us so much that we celebrate at Northview every single Sunday him giving his son for us. So faith does not live by appearances but by providence. Look at chapter 2 verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see. See that? He's seeing now. What he will say unto me. Total different attitude. Before, he's screaming at God. He's shaking. It's just like we do. He's just like us. But God says, when you get your breath and get calmed down, I want to talk to you. As a matter of fact, we're going to write a book. I want you to get your pen and paper out, and we're going to write a book. We're going to even title it your name, Habakkuk. So that in generations to come, people will see and understand what you're going through, and they'll know that I'm God, even though you don't see it all. So Habakkuk says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit screaming at God, and I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to start listening. And so it says here, he sits on a tower, on a watch, and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Oh, that's powerful. I'm going to sit and wait and see what he says to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk stopped shouting at God now. Now he's going to be quiet and listen. Sometimes when we don't understand what's going through, that's not a time to ask everybody what you think. Because let me tell you something. I believe in God to counsel, but don't you get this. There are seasons and times in your life when nobody knows what to tell you. You're going to have to learn that the just live by faith. And by living by faith, you have to learn to listen. What's the hardest thing for us to do? The hardest thing for us to do when things are not going right is for us to fix it, right? How many's got patience in here? A lot of patience. None of us. God, we pray you, Lord, you'll take care of this thing. And I believe you and I trust you and I know that you're able to do it. Then we start doing this. Well, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Don't worry about God, I got it. And when we get done, it's more of a mess than it was in the beginning. And so what is God trying to tell us? He's trying to say that you're going to have to lean on the providence of God and not what you see. Amen. His sighing is now turning into seeing. Now, What did Habakkuk see? I'll give you a couple quick things right here, and this is for you to study and begin to apply in your life. What did he see? Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. O Lord, how long shall I cry unto thee, and you will not hear, even cry unto the vilest? Thou shalt not say, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievous? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that raise up strife and contention. Can't get it out. So what did he see? Number one, when we are going through times that we don't understand, number one and priority, you must rely on his word. So if you're taking notes, it's the reliability of scripture. So he sits down here. In chapter 2, you see what the difference in chapter 1? He's screaming out everything he's seeing. He's screaming out everything he's seeing. Chapter 2 says, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to stand upon a wall. And I'm going to learn to start listening to you, Lord. I'm going to learn to listen to your word. Let me tell you what you need to do. There's been times when I needed, when I was fighting in such a struggle, I would write scriptures down and put them on the refrigerator. I'd put them in my car. How many of you know there's power in the word? And when you start speaking that word, and every time you speak that word, you're going to hear a voice. You don't feel anything. You don't see anything. God's not going to listen. Not based on that. It's based on his word. And how many of you know God honors his word? So whatever you're going through right now, you're going to have to learn. What did Habakkuk see? He saw the reliability of God's word. The second thing he saw was resource. Isn't that always the bottom line anyhow, is resource? God, are you going to do what you said you're going to do? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to be enough? That's always the case. But faith cannot fail. All right? Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans. Chapter 1. Are you getting anything out of this? Romans chapter 1. All right? Faith cannot fail. Somebody tell me why. Why can faith not fail? Because what is faith? That's his word. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you got to be careful what you hear, right? Because you're hearing many voices that are telling you it's not going to get no better. They're never going to get well. You're never going to have enough. You hear them. You hear that plenty. So what you got to do is begin to learn that God's word is reliable. And God, I'm going to stand on this watchtower, and I'm going to quit talking so much, and I'm going to start listening. The reliability of scripture. And then the second thing there is the resource. Look at Romans chapter 1. I love Romans, and I could just get lost in Romans. Romans chapter 1. Let's start with verse 15. Romans chapter 1. For as much in time as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. What does that mean? You got to understand that at this point he's late in his ministry. He has been through more battles than you can imagine. He's been stoned. He's been beat. He's been locked up. All for the gospel's sake. Now what is Paul saying here? Now what if he'd have listened to voices? What if he'd have gone by what he saw? We'd have never had the books we got in the New Testament today. You got to get this. You got to get this. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Wonder how he's saying those words. Because he has seen God move in his life. When he ought to have been dead, he's still alive. They stoned him. They brought him and drug him outside of a city gate and beat him to death just about. They beat him so bad, he's laying there unconscious. They think he's dead. They walk away, and all of a sudden dust begins to palpitate from the ground because there's still breath in him. There's still breath in him. I want to tell you something. You might feel like you're going down for the last time, but there's still breath in you as long as God is for you. Who in the world's going to be against you? Amen. Boy, this is good stuff. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is power unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's powerful right there. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God is revealed. What's the next part? Faith to faith. Now what does that mean? What does faith to faith mean? How many of you can look at your life right now and give example or testimony of hard times that you went through and God gave you the faith to get through it? Amen? And then you got out of that situation and you were right into another situation. He gave you the faith for that too, didn't he? So what is Paul saying here? God's faith stands no matter what the battle. He will give you faith. Look what he says. Lord, this is good. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written. What's the next part there? The just shall live by faith. Going down to verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, key part right here. God gave them up. Does that mean God lost control? That the wickedness got so bad that he just backed up and said, man, I didn't know it's going to be like this. I don't know what to do. Is that really what happened? Let me tell you what humility is. You need to get this. Power under control. Humility is not being a wash rag or a floor mat for everybody to walk over you. Well, I'm just being humble for God. That isn't it. Humility is knowing you got the power to change it, and you're just going to stand there till God releases you. Amen? That's power right there. Boy, this is good stuff. All right, this is better than the buffet you're fixing to have. Amen. Boy, this is good. Let me find back where I was. Okay. The just shall live by faith. What's your resource? There's an anointing in this place today. There's a strong anointing in this place today because God wants us to hear this word. Because if one of the first things you do every morning is get up and flip on the news to see what's going on, you're in trouble already. Because it's not going to tell you anything good. How many of you know good news don't sell? Bad news sells, and that's what they want to tell you. But we're not moved by that. Now, it don't mean we stick our head in the sand and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. No. We can be aware, but we're power under control. Jesus, if you're so much God, why don't you come down from that cross? Show us who you are. Prove to us who you are. Don't you believe he wanted to come down and just wipe them all away? But it's more powerful to stay. You're going to go through a lot of things you don't understand. But God's going to have the last word. All right? This brings to the next thing, the retribution. We talked about the reliability of Scripture, the resource. Now let's talk about retribution. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Yea, also, because he transgressed by wine, He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who in large desire as hell, and is as of death, and cannot be satisfied, but gather unto him all nations, and heap upon him all people. World's out of control. Verse 6. Shall not all these take a parable against him, and taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him. Woe. That word woe is used 5 times. He says, woe to him that increase that which is not his, how long? And to him that ledges himself with thick clay. And I'm not going to take time to read all that, but he starts giving him woe. Verse 6, woe. Do you see that? Look at verse 9. Woe to him that covet an evil covenant to his house. What's God saying right here? I got a record of everything going on. He says, woe. Look at verse 12. Woe. Look at verse 15. Woe. Look at verse 19. Woe. As you read all of these, it describes situations that's going on even in America today. And God says, woe. And here's the final word. God's going to deal with sin. God's going to deal with sin. Go back to Habakkuk chapter 2 and look at verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him? Look what it says here. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. An atoning proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. How long, God? And God is saying, I hear what they're saying. He's saying there is going to be, God is saying that I'm warning you against the materialism that is going to prevail. This is so awesome. It's just like today. In chapter 2, verse 6, he's talking about material corruption. You got everything at your hands. And instead of giving me the praise for it, you're using it against me. The next part is moral corruption. Verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. In your study, read them this week. But moralities are thrown into the ground. Pro-choice. You ever heard that term? These things that are coming on the scene that legalize murder. That legalize anything men want to do. God says, be aware. I know them. I've documented them. And they're going to pay. I'm going to stop right here. We talked about the reliability of Scripture. We talked about the resource, his faith. Now we're talking about retribution. Because a part of us, let me say this and then we'll stop. When someone does something misjust to you or injustice to you, or someone hurts you, or something in life comes against you and takes something from you, it causes anger. And because we're human, we want to get back. Because I'm going to tell you something, if somebody really hurts you, at that moment, you're not interested in praying, you want to get them back. Right? Am I telling the truth? Or I could be real religious and say, well, we'll just pray for them, brother. Sister in, hello, let's pray for them, you know. But you see, that's the cliche, but you know, that ain't what we do. The first thought. Now, what really hurts us is regret, because we feel like that somebody got by with something. Right? And we have a hard time with that. And you know what? Some people never get over that. Some people live right there in that community forever. They're mad at the world. They hate everything. They kick their dog. They just hate everything because of what one person did in their life. But let me give you a reassurance today. God said right there in Habakkuk, I see all this Habakkuk. I see everything going on. And I want you to understand, they're going to pay. You know what? I'd rather have your wrath than God's wrath. Because when God turns His wrath on this world, every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess, not because they want to, but because the pressure is so strong, they're going to say, yeah, He is real. And I'm sorry for what's going on. You know what? I don't know if I'll ever get over that situation where that church got blown away. Because like I told you, I was thinking about y'all because it's about the same kind of congregation. My heart is still broke. And I just don't understand. God, you seen the guy coming in the door. Lord, you know how we all got all these explanations. God, why didn't you stop him? Oh, he is stopped. Somebody killed him. But he was stopped before because he doomed his own life. How many of you know there's a heaven? Let me get old fashioned right here. How many of you know there's a heaven? And how many of you know there's a hell? God created hell for the devil and his angels. He never intended that any of us go. But if you kick against the pricks and you turn your back on him and you don't live for him, hell's going to be a final place. The Bible says it's a quenching place. It's a place, let me tell you something. All these wrongs that have been done in this America right now, they are doomed. You hear me? They can pass it. They can get in legislation. They can do all they want to do. But let me tell you, one day God's going to have the final say so. And righteousness is going to prevail. And we're going to see it. So, when you feel intimidated sometimes, or you feel like, well, you know, like I feel this way sometimes. Sometimes I have even wondered, is it worth it? Let me go a step further. Have you ever been battling so strong that you sometimes catch yourself wondering, really, is there a God? Now, that's a dummy question that the devil's throwing out there at you because we know there is, but you can get so involved in battle that that's how you feel. But let me give you this final scripture. Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. God is going to take care of His own. And I give Him praise for that. So, you know, Habakkuk is a strong book. So next week we're going to finish it up that we don't live by circumstances. So I want you to be here if you can. But I pray something's been said that encourages you and strengthens you because there's a lot of heaviness in the world today. There's a lot of injustice in the world today. But God is going to clear the record. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God of your word. We thank you, God, that you are not slack concerning your promise. But what you said, you will do. Father, we ask you to take this message. Help us to understand faith in dark days. Give us the strength we need, God. I pray that things will come back to these people's minds that they have heard over this series, Lord. And that when we feel like we are overwhelmed, or we feel like giving up, or we feel like, God, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. First of all, thank you for your grace. And then thank you for your understanding. Help us, oh God, to grow and to be strong as we should be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.